Shop the best Black Friday weekend deals up to 70% off only at Tanger Outlets. Save big at Crocs, Old Navy Outlet, American Eagle Outfitters, Kay Jewelers, and hundreds more. Find something for everyone on your list during our biggest sale of the year. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Stores open at 6 a.m. Black Friday. Get your savings at Tanger.com. Big time deals on big name brands.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. And now during our Black Friday sale, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed. Plus free home delivery when you add a base. And Cyber Monday. To find a store near you, visit sleepnumber.com.
BSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Good morning, happy Tuesday, and welcome into another day here on the program of this shortened holiday week. And you've got 2 days to get yourself ready for Thanksgiving, however you're celebrating it. And, you know, the family text chain is blowing up with who's bringing what and what time this person's coming and how long they can stay till. And, oh man, we hosted Thanksgiving, I think, once or twice when I was married. Well, when I first got married, I think we hosted like once or twice the first couple of years we were married. And then said, yeah, this is probably not the best plan. It just seems like it's too stressful once you have, you know, little kids in the house. Now, as adults, I think I can't host it. I don't have the room, but I think that I could if we wanted to. Like, I wouldn't be overwhelmed by it. But then again, I also can't cook a turkey in my stove big enough to feed everybody. It's too small. However, it takes a certain mindset to be able to plan for Thanksgiving, and where you can never really be sure who's showing up, who's staying to eat, who they're bringing. You know, you try to make the plans as best you can. Please give me a head count ahead of time. It doesn't matter. They show up with somebody else, or they show up a person down. Which I guess a person down is never a problem, right? Because that just means there'll be some extra food, but it's a lot. So to all of you who are hosting, I appreciate your efforts. I appreciate your falling on the sword to make sure that everybody has a great holiday. And I hope that you get the recognition and the appreciation that you deserve for it. Those of you who are like me, who are just going to zoom in, eat, hang out for a bit and leave, you're my people. But like I said, I'm going to bring the alcohol. So I'm definitely carrying my weight when it comes to bringing something. Last year, I introduced everybody in the family to Demon Seed. Didn't go over totally well with everybody, but I brought other stuff as well. You know what I brought last year? Madeira wine. That was pretty popular. We finished that bottle. But I don't know. This year, I think I'm going to go with some of those maple offerings. Maybe some of that number 14. Maybe some of the maple cream. I think that might be the move this year. Plus, I have a couple of bottles of wine. I have a bottle of wine that I got for Christmas last year. Like it was included with something else that I purchased. It's like, and you get this bottle of wine. And I was like, well, what am I going to do with that? I'm not a wine drinker. And I just realized I still had it. So I was like, well, that's coming to Thanksgiving. As my new cat is running around the house, finding things that I forgot that I had. He figured out how to open up the door in my liquor cabinet. And I was like, well, if you're too young to have a drinking problem. You're only 10 months old. But when I looked inside, I was like, I forgot that I even had bottles in here because I just drank what I keep on top. Anyway, 508-996-0500. That is the number to call in and get involved in the discussion today. Also, app chat messages and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Don't forget, too, today is the last day that we are taking entries for our Mariah Carey ticket giveaway. So if you would like to win those, you can get on over to the website or the app now and enter in your name and information because we are going to draw the winner immediately following the program. And then Casey will reach out to you to let you know what to do next, whoever the winner is. But I was interested in something that was being reported yesterday. Phil Devitt had it in the news, and I didn't think about it until later. Like, it kind of dawned on me. But he mentioned the news story that Massachusetts is looking to change up the way that they allow for ticket resale. That they're trying to limit how you can resell tickets that you purchased. And this is, I find, very interesting, but also can have a direct effect on what we do here. So this is according to CBS News. Buried in the massive economic development bill signed by Governor Amara Healey last week is a clause that gives companies like Ticketmaster more control over who gets your tickets if you can't make it to the event. The new law limits who fans can transfer tickets to. Consumer watchdog groups like MassPerg disagree with it, saying people should be able to do whatever they want with the tickets that they bought. And I agree with that. I agree that once you buy a ticket to a show, it is yours to do whatever you want with. Now, I don't approve of ticket scalping. I don't agree with charging, you know, thousands of dollars for tickets that have a face value of, you know, $75. But by the same token, if you buy, I mean, they shouldn't allow websites to foster that. But if you bought a ticket, say you bought a ticket to this Mariah Carey show, and you had a friend that was like, man, I'd really like to buy that ticket off you. And you say, oh, really? $1,000. And the person says, yeah, I'll give you $1,000 for that. That was their choice and your choice to sell that ticket and to buy that ticket. And that was something that was done person to person. That was not something that was done over a website. But anyway, we'll get into that. The MassPerg representative here, Deirdre Cummings, says, I can't resell to anybody I want. I can't give it to my friends or family if I can't go, and it's really harming fans. So an executive from Ticketmaster's parent company, Live Nation, defended the law, saying the goal is to prevent ticket scalping. It's about whether the professional ticket brokers and the ticket resale sites that support them can use their bots and all their other tactics to grab thousands and thousands of tickets that were meant for real fans and instead put them on resale markets where they're going to double the price, said Dan Wall, the vice president of corporate and regulatory affairs for Live Nation. And he's right. That's absolutely a problem. And that's why when you go online to try to get tickets to your favorite show, when they go on sale, you can't. They're gone within 5 minutes because these bots go in there and grab them all up. So the way the new ticket law works, this is how CBS News reported it. If you buy tickets to a Celtics game from Ticketmaster or SeatGeek and you can no longer go, the new law requires you to sell tickets on the original platform you bought them from. Okay. Rather than on the secondary market, as long as the company lets you know of the policy first. But the person from Massburg said, Ticketmaster will buy it at a lower face value and then sell it at a higher one, and that's what keeps the ticket prices elevated. Live Nation, meanwhile, argues the new law protects artists, sports teams, and fans. They said this is not about a person who gets sick and can't go to a show. StubHub has called the law anti-competitive, and they're urging lawmakers to revisit the language in the law. Well, of course, that's their whole business model. But if you can already do this, you don't have to do it. But if you can't go to a show and you don't want to go to a show, you can go on Ticketmaster and resell them. It's a verified resale so that when you go as a consumer to buy tickets that are from that, you know that these are real, legitimate tickets and that they're not bots. They're real people and they're not selling you fake tickets. The problem is when you go onto these event pages on Ticketmaster and you try to buy the verified resold tickets, they are higher than the price, higher than the face value of the ticket. Because if you can go on one day and get a balcony seat for $49 and the next day somebody bought that ticket and is reselling it for, you know, $89, that's an issue. Because they're doing it through the Ticketmaster site. The way that this works, in the way that it works in a way that's fair to consumers, and Ticketmaster will never go for it, is I can't go to a show. I want to put my tickets up for sale. I sell them back to Ticketmaster for the original price I paid for the ticket. And you know what? Do it for face value. You know, I don't get the fees back. But at least give me the face value back on the ticket, because then Ticketmaster can take that ticket and resell it for face value plus new fees. To me, that seems like a fairer way to do it. Now, the question becomes, well, what happens if Ticketmaster takes that ticket back but then can't resell it? Well, they still made the fees. And then Ticketmaster can also discount that ticket. What bothers me about this whole process is, or what has me concerned, is how are they going to limit who you can transfer the ticket to? So right now, the system that Ticketmaster has works well. Not just for me as the person giving away tickets on the radio and being able to transfer them from my account or Casey's account to your account so that you can go to the show, but also so that if you win those tickets and you don't actually want to go to that show but want to give them to somebody else that you know that wants to go, you can then transfer them to them. And then sometimes we've had people say, hey, it turns out I can't go. I'm going to transfer them back to the radio station and you guys can pick another winner. That, I think, is a system that needs to stay in place, because that allows for, there's no money exchange, nobody's selling anything. You're just allowing somebody else to use that ticket. And you know, I take the tickets, if somebody doesn't come and claim a prize, I'll take those and put them in my Ticketmaster account and say, I'll find somebody that'll use them, you know, rather than have them go to waste. And I think that those kind of things need to be part of whatever the future is, because this has been revolutionary for how we do business, but also for how everybody that I know goes to concerts now. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hey, good morning.
How are you?
Can I change the subject?
You can.
Okay. We just lost Chuck Woolery.
Yes.
I mean, I must have watched every game show there is. And he was a cool guy, a nice looking man too. And that was a fun game. I have a question. I could look it up, but I'm too tired. Bob Bakker, did he make it to 100? I thought he did. I don't know for sure. 99?
Yeah, I don't think he quite made it to 100. Hold on, I'll tell you exactly.
I know he's up there.
He passed away just shy of 100.
Yeah, I mean, he almost made it.
His birthday was December 12th, 1923, and he died August 26th, 2023. So he was, you know, what, 4 months away, 5 months away?
That was the biggest show. I never missed The Price is Right. No. Now I haven't been watching it no more, although I like Drew Carey, though. Is he still there? I don't know. I haven't watched it.
I think so. I don't know. I don't really get a chance to watch the game shows. Mm. I mean, I used to love game shows when I was a kid. And they were, you know, they were simple and easy to understand. Now game shows are getting more and more complicated.
It's that Jeopardy. I answered quite a few of them. I surprised myself, but not very many.
You know what?
Back in the day,
I was going to say, you know what Chuck Woolery show I always liked, but you don't hear much about anymore? He hosted a version of Scrabble.
I do remember it.
That was fun.
And you were, I don't know, you're kind of young to even remember. You remember the match game with Gene Rayburn?
So I didn't watch it live when it was on, but I watched it in reruns later on.
All those games with the celebrities, the $10,000 pyramid.
I love the pyramid.
That's my favorite game too. Right next to The Price is Right, the Hollywood Squares, all the ones with all those celebrities.
Yeah, Hollywood Squares was probably my favorite.
Yeah, they were telling jokes the whole time, dude. It would crack you up.
They're bringing it back. But it doesn't look like it's going to be very funny. The center square is Drew Barrymore. And I love Drew Barrymore, but she's not funny enough to be the center square. You need a Paul Lynde, you know, Gilbert Gottfried type Lynde. Character
in
there.
Yeah. My whole family loved him. Bob Eubanks from The Newlyweds. Remember that? Did you see that at
yep.
all?
Yep.
And he was funny, too. And some of those answers, that was a great game.
You mentioned... You mentioned Gene Rayburn. Did you know that he was once involved in a car crash in Marion?
No.
Yeah, I wrote an article about it a couple months ago.
Dad, did he live?
Yeah, it wasn't a big deal car crash. He was okay. He went to Toby Hospital, but you know, he was released that night. But he was driving. He used to drive between his home on the Cape and New York City. And so back in those days, of course, there was the highway was there, but people still used Route 6. And so he was going on Route 6, and I guess somebody was coming out of, either he was coming out of somewhere or somebody else was coming out of somewhere, and they ended up T-boning his car. But he was okay.
You know, that Gene Rayburn, I mean, if you listened good, I don't know how old you were, but he would come out with some bad rated stuff, boy, that... Way back then, he would say things, and believe me, we could figure it out what he meant.
Oh, they were great at that. All those game show hosts were great at that innuendo.
I'm surprised that they let them get away with what they were doing back then.
Did you know that Chuck Woolery was in a band in the 60s called the Avant Garde?
It was
like a hippie kind of band, but then he put out country albums after that.
Do you know the host of the dating game? I can see his face and everything, but I can't recall the name.
The dating game. Oh.
Yeah. And that murderer was on that show one time. Rodney Alpaca, I think his name is.
Yeah, they just made a movie about that on Netflix.
Oh, I'll probably go look that up.
Yeah, it was good. It's called The Woman of the Hour.
I remember that. Maybe tonight's movie for me. There it is. That murderer was on that dating game show. Wow, and the girl survived, I guess. But do you remember the dating game guy, his name?
I'm looking at, so this says Jim Lang, Elaine Joyce, Jeff McGregor, Brad Sherwood.
Oh, yes, Lang, yeah.
So that Jim Lang would have been the first one, yeah.
That was a great show, too, that dating game, too. And the last one I'll mention, because I'm taking a lot of time, the... Family Feud had a lot of different hosts, that Richard Dawson. Wow. I don't even know. Was that true? That suicide about him?
No, that was Ray Combs. Ray Combs committed suicide.
Oh, okay. I know one of them did. That's right, because Richard Dawson was known as the kisser. Wow. Imagine him doing that today during the viruses and all that stuff.
Oh,
he was kissing every single woman.
I mean, sometimes he went in there and he lingered in there for a while.
Yes, and right on the lips, he would have been flying up in the air if I was there and he was doing that.
But yeah, you had Richard Dawson, then Ray Combs, then Louis Anderson took over, and then...
I love him.
I love
Louis Anderson. Is he alive?
He is, and Louis Anderson won an Emmy a couple years ago. He played on a show called Baskets with Zach Galifianakis. He played Zach Galifianakis' mother. And he was so good. Like, I totally forgot that it was Louis Anderson. I thought it was, you know, this woman.
Oh, I love him. Baskets. I'm going to look that up. Would I be able to see that on YouTube or something?
It was on FX, so I think it would be on Hulu.
Now, did he die, Louis Anderson?
No, as far as I know, he's still alive.
Oh, I've always liked him. And Dom DeLuise, I know he's gone. Favorite actor, his sons too, but
oh,
I
no,
really
Louis,
like
Louis Anderson died in 2022. Sorry.
Oh, I had a feeling. Oh yeah, I liked him. Did you see that movie Fatso with Dom DeLuise?
Long time ago when I was a kid. Yeah.
Oh, I cracked up. I saw that many times because it was just too funny. It was way too funny. I really loved it.
I was a big fan of his work in the Mel Brooks movies, like Silent Movie and Blazing Saddles.
Those were the days. Great stuff. Really great stuff. Well, thanks for the call.
Well, I'll tell you what. Before I got to take a break here before we go into the news. So you know what I'll say? We'll be back in 2 and 2.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. You have a good
holiday.
Day.
Yep. Thank you. Bye-bye.
And just to be transparent, it'll be a little bit more than 2 minutes and 2 seconds, but we'll take a quick break and then we'll be back with the news.
But I know I can.
So that is Naturally Stoned, probably the biggest hit for the Avant-Garde, which was the band that Chuck Woolery was in. Back in his early days, he was a musician. So that song hit number 40 on the Billboard Hot 100 in mid-1968. But they also disbanded shortly thereafter and never released a full album. But they had a couple of other singles, Yellow Beads and Fly With Me. So there you go. There's the music of Chuck Woolery. And he also has a couple of albums. I think they were country albums that he did solo. And then, of course, came to fame as a game show host. And I always thought when I was a kid, oh, man, I'd love to be a game show host someday. And I got the chance, kind of. When I was in high school, I hosted a kids' game show on cable access called TV Trivia. And I tried to be the Chuck Barris of cable access, but some of the stuff I did just didn't land with people. But I'd be interested in your favorite game shows and game show hosts if you want to call in with those, 508-996-0500. Since Mary sparked that idea with her call regarding the now late Chuck Woolery. But right now we're going to go into the newsroom and get all of the news of the day from a man who could never be considered a game show host. He's way too straightforward and serious. Of course, I'm teasing. Phil Devitt in the WBSM newsroom.
Trump details his plan for tariffs once he takes office. Walmart rolls back its DEI policies. And two important pardons at the White House.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President-elect Donald Trump threatened on Monday to impose sweeping new tariffs on Mexico, Canada, and China as soon as he takes office as part of his effort to crack down on illegal immigration and drugs. He said he would impose a 25% tax on all products entering the country from Canada and Mexico, and an additional 10% tariff on goods from Mexico as one of his first executive orders. A Florida woman has been sentenced to 25 years in prison for the fatal shooting of her black neighbor. Susan Lawrence shot and killed 35-year-old Ajike Owens in June of 2023 after a dispute over noise from Owens' children. The shooting sparked outrage and protests. Lawrence claimed self-defense, but a jury found her guilty of manslaughter. The judge said the shooting was unnecessary and based on anger, not fear. There's a new twist in the saga of conspiracy theorist Alex Jones' InfoWars media empire. The satirical news website The Onion won the bidding for InfoWars at a bankruptcy auction, backed by families of victims from the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting. Jones owes those families billions of dollars in defamation judgments for repeatedly claiming the massacre was a hoax. The Onion plans to relaunch InfoWars as a parody website in January, but Jones is contesting the sale, alleging fraud and collusion between The Onion and the bankruptcy court. A judge will decide the case in December. Macy's reported stronger than expected sales for the third quarter, but has delayed the release of its full financial results. The company discovered that an employee had been hiding expenses over several years, potentially up to $154 million. Macy's is now investigating the matter and will release its full results at a later date. Walmart is facing criticism for rolling back its diversity, equity, and inclusion policies. The retail giant says it will no longer consider race or gender when awarding supplier contracts, and it'll stop collecting demographic data on loan applicants. The decision comes after pressure from conservative activists who accuse the company of prioritizing identity politics over qualifications. But critics argue the move weakens efforts to create a more diverse workforce and supplier base at Walmart. The company says it remains committed to fostering a workplace where everyone feels welcome and respected. Millions of Americans expected to hit the roads and skies for Thanksgiving. Airlines and airports bracing for a busy holiday week. But potential air traffic controller shortages and weather could cause delays in some places. Travelers are advised to arrive early, check TSA guidelines, and plan for heavy traffic on the roads. And Peach and Blossom are the two lucky turkeys from Minnesota who escaped a foul fate of ending up on someone's Thanksgiving table this year when they were pardoned Monday by President Biden at the White House. Biden used the event to give thanks, noting serving as president has been the honor of his life, and he's forever grateful.
WBSM Sports.
Boston Bruins welcome the Vancouver Canucks to TD Garden tonight at 7. Celtics play the Bulls in Chicago on Friday night, and Patriots face the Indianapolis Colts at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough on Sunday.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
A little rain for your Tuesday, but warm, about 55 degrees. Skies sunny on Wednesday, high temperatures close to 50. On Thanksgiving, rain moves in, heavier at times than what we see today. It exits Thursday night. Skies begin to clear for Black Friday morning. Rest of the holiday weekend, mostly sunny, but breezy and colder each day. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Tears and loneliness, loneliness. Painted lady, would you stay with me tonight, scarlet woman? Would you hold a stranger tight, painted lady? Would you love away this pain inside of me?
That is also Chuck Woolery. That is Painted Lady from one of his country albums. So he took a couple of cracks at the music industry. So, you know, he started off in a folk trio, singing and playing the double bass with a group called the Bordermen. And then, of course, he was in the avant-garde, which has the psychedelic pop music. And then he ended up releasing 5 records with Columbia Records And then in 1970, he signed with RCA and released Forgive My Heart. And then in 1971, he had another single, Love Me, Love Me. Neither one of those failed to make an impact, so he became an actor. And then in the late 70s, he returned to singing and actually charted on the Hot Country Songs charts with that song and The Greatest Love Affair. So between 1977 and 1980, he recorded for Warner Brothers Records and Epic Records as a solo artist with two low-charting singles on Hot Country Songs. He also co-wrote The Joys of Being a Woman on Tammy Wynette's 1971 album, We Sure Can Love Each Other. Then, of course, he started acting again. Those of you who remember the show, The New Zoo Review, with, what was that, Freddie the Frog? I think the song was like, The New Zoo Review, coming right at you, something like that. I remember that from when I was a kid. I was, you know, watching it in reruns, but I remember it. And he was Mr. Dingle on The New Zoo Review. And then made his first game show appearance on an episode of Tattletales in 1974 with his then-wife, Joanne Flug. And then he started appearing on other shows as a singer. And then on January 6, 1975, he began hosting Wheel of Fortune at the suggestion of creator Merv Griffin, who had seen Woolery sing on The Tonight Show. Then, of course, he hosted that show for 6 years. And then went on to host numerous other game shows, including Love Connection, The Big Spin, Scrabble, Home and Family, The Dating Game, Greed, The TV Land Ultimate Fan Search, and Lingo. And then, of course, the Game Show Network also had a show about his life called Chuck Woolery, Naturally Stoned. So a pretty eclectic life. And a lot of those game show hosts of the 60s and 70s, they were people who started off in other entertainment careers. They didn't set out to become game show hosts. They just had the right personality that somebody said, you know what, you would make a great game show host. Because it took a lot of, to be a game show host, you have to be able to keep that show moving. And you have to be able, you have to be funny, you have to be engaging, you have to have, people have to trust you. And it's not an easy gig. I mean, you look at some of the people who are good at it, and people like to say, you know, Alex Trebek was a little too stiff on Jeopardy, and that he was a little bit too condescending sometimes when people got some. And I used to say that. I'm like, oh, yeah, you can be real smug, Alex, when you've got the answer on a card. You didn't know that. But when you watched him on other shows that he did, like Classic Concentration, there was another one that involved cards. I can't remember the name of it. But was it Card Sharks? Was he the host of that one? Anyway, when he hosted other shows, you saw he was more of a loose, personable type of host. So, you needed to have a certain skill set to be a game show host. It can't be an easy thing. And that's why I think it's weird that now when they come out with these new game shows, they just plug in like an actor. Like, oh, here's a new game show hosted by Rob Lowe. Not that he does a bad job. I haven't really watched that show. But it's like you're just trying to take that person's credibility. Like, I noticed they brought back Press Your Luck with, is it Elizabeth Banks? Is that who it is that hosts it? And it's like certainly capitalizing on her star power. But then I did a little digging. I think she wanted to bring it back because she was such a big fan of the original show. And that's why they're bringing back Hollywood Squares with Drew Barrymore, because she wants to do it. I think that's a mistake, putting her as the center square. You need somebody in that center square that can riff and make up jokes on the spot. I know a lot of it is going to be pre-written, but you still need to be quick. Like, the greatest Hollywood Squares moment, in my opinion, is the whole Gilbert Gottfried, "You fool!" And that came about organically. That wasn't written. Most of Paul Lynde's one-liners, those weren't written. Because if they were written, they never would have made it past standards and practices to get on the air. So I don't have a lot of faith that it'll be a funny show. I mean, they've got a couple of comedians on there, but like when you're counting on Jay Leno. And I believe me, I loved Leno in his early days, but now it's like the safest comedian possible. It's the safest comedian possible if you can't afford Jerry Seinfeld. So he's gonna be on this show, and like it goes to show like you want the audience of this show to be older folks cashing in on the nostalgia value of Hollywood Squares rather than a new audience that's going to discover Hollywood Squares for the first time. Anyway, 508-996-0500. I used to like a game show called Sale of the Century, and I don't remember that much about it at all. But I always thought that was a fun game show. It was on NBC, and I would watch it if I was homesick from school. Because I think that came on at noon. So I could watch it before my mom watched Days of Our Lives. If I was homesick from school, I could watch Price is Right. I was allowed to watch Price is Right. But at 1 o'clock, that TV was going on Days of Our Lives. Anyway, 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails. We'll be back in just a few moments. Don't say it, Tim. Don't say it. I have to say it. Do you know where Phil Collins recorded that song? In the Stu studio. All right. I try to resist the urge, but I can't. The worst is like if that song comes on when I'm in public. And then I have to like go up to somebody in public. Like if it comes on while I'm in Walmart, I'll just like turn to somebody in the aisle and be like, hey, do you know where this song was recorded? No. In the Stu studio. Security, take this man out of here, please. So with all of the, you know, this is the time that people, if they haven't already put out their holiday lights, this is the weekend that people will do that. You know, Thanksgiving, Black Friday, the Saturday, the Sunday. This is the weekend that people will get out and start decorating their houses. And when you do, I want you to take some photos because we are going to be bringing back our Light Up South Coast Holiday Light Contest in which you can win a prize for having the best holiday light display. So certainly take a photo of your holiday lights, and you can hold on to them for now until we put out the submission form, but it won't be long before we have that up. And then you might be the winner, but I was looking at, so some of my friends already have their lights up. In fact, when they took down their Halloween decorations, they put up their Christmas lights, so they've had them up since probably the first weekend in November. And they go the full Clark Griswold. They're covering every inch of their house with lights and decorations and inflatables and all of that. And it's I don't know, it seems like it's too much for me, but they enjoy it. And I said to them, I was like, you do this so often. Like every holiday, you've got something different out there with inflatables. They have an inflatable Garfield they put out for no reason. Like just, they put it out there when it's not too windy. Like they've always got this stuff running. I was like, what must your electric bill be like? But they don't worry about it because 4 or 5 years ago, they went solar. And they've paid off their solar panels. And now they're at the point where they are being paid by the electric company for the power that they're generating. Now, when the holidays come around, they might use up some of those some of those credits and kind of reverse it and have to pay a little bill. So I said, well, what was your bill last year for all of your holiday decorations? And they said, last year, our bill was $75, thereabouts. And I said, oh, $75 a month? That's not bad. And they said, no, $75 for the entire time we had the holiday decorations out. So all through November and December. So probably about $37.50 each month is what they paid to have everything imaginable. I think they even have like animatronic stuff out there, like it's Eataville in their front yard. So that's the power of going solar, that you could be putting 100 things in your yard and either not paying for it or paying very little for it. And if you are thinking about going solar, if you are looking at your electric bill this year after all of your holiday lights and saying, how can we make this cheaper next year? Well, instead of less lights and less decorations, solar can make all the difference. But can it really? Well, Isaacs and Solar can answer those questions for you. They can give you simple, honest, direct answers to all of your questions about going solar with no sales BS. But you can also find out ways that you can start helping yourself throughout the course of the year. So it's not just about putting out holiday decorations. How about having a nice solar pavilion in your yard for the summer? A shaded area where your family can sit out and have dinner in the evenings or enjoy a nice night under the stars. But this pavilion can also be collecting solar energy. They can do the same thing with a carport, so that when the snow comes, you can have your car parked safely under the carport and don't have to worry about brushing it off. But then also that carport is gathering solar energy for you. Find out more about it on the Isaacs and Solar Facebook page and find out more about going solar by reaching out to them and having them come out to your home and talk to you. And they will give you a free, no obligation quote if it turns out that your home is a good fit for solar. So again, Isaacs and Solar on Facebook or isaacsandsolar.com, I-S-A-K-S-E-N, Isaacs and Solar. Got to take one final break here of this hour, and we'll be back in a few. Welcome back in. We have a few moments here before we're going to go into the news. When we come back on the other side, I want to talk about this story that you heard Phil mention in the news and that we have at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. A man who was just convicted of scamming people who are looking to rent an apartment and preying in particular on the Mayan community. So this is a problem that happens more often than you think. Especially now as people are turning to social media as a place where they will try to find their apartments. It's become the Wild West of people ripping people off if they're not careful. So we can talk about that coming up in the next hour. We were talking before about, you know, preparing Thanksgiving meal. Participation Trophy Wife says, I don't remember how to make a turkey after not having a proper oven for a while. So the tutorial I picked involves the inappropriate placement of lemons. My turkey's getting a bacon bikini over that. That sounds like it's going to be quite the conversation piece when you put it on the Thanksgiving table. Make sure you send us some photos via the WBSM app. I want to see what that thing looks like. And it also sounds tasty, although I don't know that I've ever put lemons on a turkey before. Even as a decorative touch. I mean, I know, of course, there's a shortage of Bell's seasoning this year. The company hasn't been able to make it. They're having financial issues, and so there's going to be a shortage of Bell's seasoning, but I guess...
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.